Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. And that is exactly what we want you to do today. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. He will touch you and make your life whole. Do you believe that? It's available for you right now. He's waiting on you to receive it. Welcome to Healing School this morning. Healing School is a place where people come to hear and be healed. Healing School is a place where miracles happen. Excuse me. Healing School is a place where Jesus comes and touch you. Somebody said, well, I didn't know that. Yes, he does. He's here now. Amen. God bless you this morning. Grab pen and paper. If this is your first time here today, welcome to Healing School. Praise God. Praise God. Good morning, Prophet.
Good morning, Apostle, and good morning, everyone. We're so glad you are joining us this morning. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. This morning we are talking about Jesus was our substitute. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Jesus was our substitute. Last week I made a statement. I think I made it here. We teach some of the arenas. The Bible called Jesus the sample son. Jesus tasted debt for every man. He sampled debt for you because you couldn't yourself. He did it for all of us. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Prophet, you can take off.
Amen. Praise God. When Jesus put Satan to naught and stripped him of his authority, it was you in Christ who did that work. Mm-hmm. Christ acted in your stead. He did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for each of us. So that we can say, in Christ, I conquered Satan. I stripped him of his authority. And when Jesus rose from the dead, I rose with him.
Now, I want you to pause there for a second. I want everybody to see this. When Jesus rose from the dead, what happened?
I rose with him.
You got up with him. When he got up, you got up with him. I want to take you back to the liquid grave for a moment. What is he talking about, the liquid grave? When you got baptized, that water is called the liquid grave. Why? Because it's symbolic of Jesus dying. But notice, he didn't stay there. He got up. So when he got up, you got up with him. When he rose, you rose with him. Only to walk in the newness of life. In that newness of life, listen to me now, it's without sickness and disease. You read the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, it keeps saying, and he healed them all, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed them all, and he healed them all. How many? All. And that all include me and you too. Mm. We are right there. Yes, we were. We were right there. Praise God. All right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So you can confidently say, but God being rich in mercy, with his great love, wherewith he loved me, even when I was dead through my trespasses and sins, made me alive together with Christ. By grace have I been saved or healed, and raised me up with him and made me sit with him in the heavenlies in Christ.
So we could say this like this then. Notice that word saved there.
Mm-hmm.
For by grace you have been saved. You can also say, because it's the same word, by grace you have been healed.
Yes.
Amen. By
Amen.
Grace. See, what is it? Philippians 2 and 8. For by grace are you saved through faith.
Mm-hmm.
That word saved is the same word healed. So by grace you have been healed. Same thing as saved. Glory to Jesus. Come on.
So it is when you take your place and begin to assume your rights and privileges that God begins to respond to us.
Now, pay attention to words now. When we begin to do what?
Take our place and begin to assume our rights and our privileges.
Take your place and begin to assume your rights. You have rights and privileges in him.
Hmm.
Many people don't know they have rights and privileges in the Lord, but you do. Folks, listen to me. Satan just can't take you out because he wants to. Satan just can't kill you because he just wants to. And he's big enough and bad enough to do that. You have rights and you have privileges. Can you see that?
Amen.
You do. Me? Yes, you do. Well, I thought Jesus was the only one who had it. He gave it to you. Okay.
So this is 1 John 5, 11 through 12 in the King James. It says, and this is the record that God had given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life.
Now there's a reason for that. There is a reason for that. In that reason, you can find in 1 Corinthians, prophet chapter 3, in verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 23. See, you belong to Jesus. And Jesus belonged to God. He belonged to who? He belonged to God. So because you are in him, in Colossians, it tells you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You belong to him. Christ belonged to God. Take your Bible one day and sit down with it and look up scriptures that say in him. Find every in him scripture that you can find.
Amen.
And you will find out a whole lot of your rights and privileges in him. Write that down. Make a note of that. All right.
So you have the same eternal life that Jesus had.
You have the what?
The same eternal life that Jesus had.
Wow. Come on.
He had the Son. He that had the Son had life. You have the Son. We all have the Son, and therefore we have the life.
Now we're not talking about the S-U-N, we're talking about the S-O-N, right?
Amen.
You have Christ. Again, Christ in you. Christ is where? In you. Okay.
Now you may say, I have taken Jesus Christ as my Savior. I have confessed him as my Lord. God has given to me eternal life,
mm-hmm.
his own nature. I am now a new creation. I'm created in Christ Jesus, and I have God's ability to perform the good works that were afforded for people prepared that I should walk in them.
Yes.
I have God's ability because I have God's nature. I have the same great, mighty spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwelling in me. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We can actually say that.
That's right. That's right. Now listen. Somebody say, oh, that's heresy. That's heresy. No, that's the word. This is the word of God we're giving you. We didn't say that. Jesus did. And God said, amen. Glory to Jesus. Do you see it?
Amen. Yes.
These are things Satan don't want you to ever find out. James chapter 4 and verse 7 declares, submit yourself unto God and resist the devil. Only if you are submitted to God, then you have the ability to resist the devil. To resist the devil is to resist that sickness and disease. Arthritis, I come against you in the name of Jesus. Diabetes, I come against you in the name of Jesus. By the authority in the name of Jesus. Leave my body. And do you know it have to obey you?
Amen.
All right, come on.
So you are his righteousness. You have the same righteousness as Jesus.
Wait a minute. You have the what? You have the
same righteousness as uh-huh. Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, him who knew no sin, God made to be sin on your behalf, that you might become the righteousness of God in him.
Now, I know what some of y'all are thinking. You're thinking about the scripture that says there's none righteous, no, not one. Under the law, there was none righteous. No, not one. Why? Because Jesus hadn't came and died and rose again yet.
Okay.
Did you hear that yet? So there was none at that time righteous. No, not one. Oh, but now.
Praise God.
You are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, if any man, any woman be in Christ, are you in Christ today? He says you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. And all things have become what? Become new. Now, you are his righteousness, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Come on.
So therefore, you can say, I have become the righteousness of God in him.
Now you can say that.
You can say that. And there is therefore now no condemnation to you because you are in Christ. Mm-hmm. And that righteousness gives you the privilege of standing in the Father's presence as though he had never committed sin.
Look at that. You can stand guiltless before God. Yes, you can. As though you never, ever had sinned. The apostle Paul, before he became Paul, he was a terrorist. Did you know that? But he got born again on that Damascus Road. He got born again. And when you read the Pauline epistles, you will hear him saying, watch this here, he was a terrorist. He went about killing people. He had his letter in his hand. But guess what he said when he got born again, when he met Christ? I have wronged no man.
That's what he said.
Because he understood what he had received. He understood, and that's why the Spirit of God had him to write. If any man, boy, or girl be in Christ, again, are you in Christ today? Look at what he said. You are a new creature, or I could say a new creation. Old things are what? Pass away. All things have become what? New.
Brand new.
Brand new. No contradiction, no argument. You are in him. You are brand new. Come on.
And you have the nature. You are his very own child, his very own children. He is your father. You can say this now. He has declared me righteous. He's declared me righteous.
Yes.
I like that word there, Apostle, declare. See, that's our part.
That's right.
In this great gift that has been given to us, we must do our part, and we must say, you know, the Bible says we must say what the scripture says.
Yes.
So he has declared you righteous. He has made you righteous. And so you can say that. He has declared me righteous. He has made me righteous. I am the righteousness. See, you have to say that. I am the righteousness of God.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. And we must pay attention to words all the time. As a son, as a daughter, you have the legal right to use the name of Jesus.
That's right.
No one has a better right to use that name than you, because you are the righteousness of God. Do you see that? And Amen. All authority is in that name. All authority is in the name of Jesus.
All of it. That's good.
And so now you can say this. So say this with me. If you are in a place where you can speak, you're not at work, you're in a place where you can just lift your voices now, we would like you to repeat after us. Just say this with me. Jesus declares that whenever I ask him in his name, he will give it to me. Fearlessly, I take my place. I lay my hands upon that loved one who is sick, and I say, in the name of Jesus, disease. Leave this body.
Leave this body.
Demons.
Leave this body. Leave this body.
And go off into the abyss.
Go off into the abyss.
Where you belong.
Where you belong.
Don't you ever touch this loved one again.
Don't you ever touch this loved one again. Glory to God.
Christ said to me.
They who believe.
Then lay hands on the sick. They shall recover.
They shall do what? They shall recover.
In my name. They shall ask. They shall cast out demons. And they shall leave.
Glory to
Jesus. He said, praise God. We have to make sure that we are getting into the position and place where we can affirm the word of God. We must say the word of God, give him back his word. The Bible says, come, let us reason together. Put me in remembrance of my word. It's not that he forgot his word, but that he knows that when you affirm his word, it goes to work in your life.
That's right. That's right.
So we must give God back his word. Mm-hmm. The Father has no favorites. It was a great comfort to my heart when I realized that the Father has no favorites. Yes. That all the children have their own place in his heart. He loves each one of us. Even, you know, Jesus Christ said that he loves every one of us the same. Jesus said that the world may know that thou lovest them even as thou lovest me.
Yes.
We all have the same redemption. The work that he wrought in Christ absolutely destroyed the power of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And now redeems every person who will accept Christ as Savior and confess him. See that word, confess?
Yes.
Confess him as Lord. That's how you got born again, right? I don't know where you were, but someone led you to speak the words of salvation. And you confessed it and you believed it. And guess what? I don't know how many years ago it was, but even today, you still believe that that confession holds true in your life. Well, it's the same thing with your healing. When you affirm, when you make the word of God, when you confess the word of God, you have to, as it relates to your healing, you can have that same convictions. A continual affirmation of God's word in faith will build into your immune system a supernatural anointing that is capable of eliminating sickness and disease in a natural manner. There are building blocks. There are scriptures that you can repeat every day.
That's right.
Amen. Just to name a few, Job 22:28 says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine on your ways. See that word, decree? What you decree, you speak, you say it, and you have it if you speak it in faith, according to Mark 11. Remember that? He said, if you confess with your mouth, doubt not in your heart. Those two go together. You can't take one part of that scripture and then say, I'll leave the other. Like kids, you give them some vegetables or a plate of food, and they will eat the meat and the French fries, but they don't want the vegetables. You see, we can't do that with Mark 11. None of the scriptures really, but most of the time we try to do that, because he said, if you confess with your mouth and doubt, see, and that's a conjunction. That's and right. Doubt not in your heart. Those two go together. So when you confess with your mouth the word of God, what is he saying? You got to believe it. You can't just say this like right now, because Apostle and I are telling you to speak and to say Job 22:28. Okay, so we say repeat this. We gave you something to repeat a few minutes ago. Okay, so that's the beginning. But what should I do then? Well, it's something called meditation. You go and you take these building blocks. This is what we call them, the word of God that promise you your healing. And you go and study it and you meditate on it until it becomes a part of your spirit, of your inner man. And that's when believing kicks in. Yes. See? So now you have both of those commandments going, working together. I'm now confessing, and I'm also not doubting in my heart. I'm confessing the word, and I'm believing the word. You see it? I'm confessing. Now I can say Job 22:28 with conviction. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto me, and the light shall shine on my ways.
That's right.
You see it? And that's so right. When you speak the scriptures now, you're going to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
You see it?
That's
like,
right.
You know, when you start speaking the word of God, you're going to believe it now, because you found out that those two go together. He said, if I confess with my mouth and I believe with my heart, what did he promise us? You're going to have what you say.
That's
you
right.
See it?
That's right.
We've got to get that situated, get it confirmed, get that in our spirit, get it down in our hearts, begin to memorize it, begin to think about it, and it'll be yours, child of God. Don't try to, you know, you say, well, how can you pull up scriptures like that? How can you? Well, we've been at this for years and years and years, over 40, 50 years. We know this. We didn't start out like this, but we stayed with it. You see it? We kept doing it over and over and over again until it became a part of us. So we believe it, just like you believe whatever your name is. No one's got to convince you that your name is Carolyn. You know your name is Rob or Carolyn or a Frank or whatever your name. No one has to convince you of that. You believe that. That's what he's saying. I want you to say it with conviction. I want you to affirm it. I want you to confess it. I want you to believe it. When you say my word, I want you to believe my word. I want you to take my word by faith. I want you to just believe it, even though you don't see your healing, even though you don't feel your healing at the time. That's why those scriptures are called building blocks. Yes. You see it? Because you're building up that script. You're building that healing into your body. You're building it into your, God's word is infused. It's becoming engrafted into your body.
Yes.
By you giving voice to his word with your own mouth. And this is the language of health to your body. You see it? So it can't just stay written on the pages. Thank God for the scriptures being written on the Bible. But I oftentimes say this to you. You have to become the walking Bible. Hello? You have to become the Bible. Yes. So whenever you need it, you put it in your spirit. And your spirit man can call it up.
That's what
your spirit man can call it up. And so that's why Apostle's giving us this perfect example of our redemption, of who we are and how we got to that place where we can now confess the word of God. Because you've been made the righteousness of God. You are just like Jesus. When Jesus spoke, he had no doubt. What did he say? He said, I and my Father are what? We're one. The disciples said, show us the Father. He said, I've been with you all this time. I've been here teaching you and speaking to you every day like this for 3 years. And you're still telling me, you're asking me to show you the Father. He said, listen, don't you know when you see me, you've seen the Father? What is he saying? I and my Father are one. Child of God, listen to me out there this morning. You and the Father are one. That's who you are. And have to work on becoming that, even though it's been given to you through the redemption that we talked about. But now you have to work on what? Building yourself up, building yourself up, building yourself up, because that's who you are.
Yes.
God's word is infused and grafted into you by you, what? Constantly, your constant affirmation of it, your continual affirmation of it. Every day, you are taking these building blocks. Decree a thing, he said, and it shall be established unto you. You built your faith up so much that it is a sure thing. That's why he said now over in Mark, if you confess with your mouth and what? And believe in your heart.
Yes, that's right.
See it? Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. You believe you got saved when you confess the Lord Jesus? Sure, you believe that. Well, why can't you confess these scriptures and believe that they are healing your body? Hello?
That's right.
It's the same thing. You confessed with your mouth. Somebody said to you, all right, repeat after me. One day somebody said that. I believe. Okay. The Bible says, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, that he is the Son of God, that God raised him from the dead. And if I confess with my mouth and I take him as my Lord, come on, if I confess him and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I'm saved. You did that. Didn't you say that over in John? Yes, sure you did. Romans 10, 9 and 10, you confess that. And you said, now I'm saved. You walked away from that experience believing that you were saved. It's the same thing. You confessed with your mouth and you believed in your heart and you became saved that day.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
Do you know this is the same process? You have to confess the word of God. You confess the word on healing and then take it by faith and let not you know, one of the problems we run into that with the healing situation, Apostle, is the pain is still there. You see, even though we are confessing that we are healed, we're confessing the word of God on healing, but the pain is still racking in our bodies. The proof of the affliction is still there. We can still see the swelling. We can still see the area, the afflicted area, and it has not changed. And so that's where we make our mistake. Don't even look at it anymore. Hello? Don't even keep feeling to see if it's still. No, can take the word by faith. Confess the word, because as you confess the word of God, you are getting the word down in your spirit, and that word will change what's going on in your spirit, what's going on in your body. You see it? Because healing starts in your spirit, and then it just dumps over into your flesh.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It starts in your spirit. Just like getting saved started in your spirit. You had to speak it, but it went right into your spirit. And when you speak these words, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. That's what he's saying. You have to take those two together. Confess and believe. You're going to have it.
That's right.
Don't be so concerned about the, is it still there? I still feel the pain. Satan does a good job on us with that, doesn't he, Apostle?
Yes,
because he knows we are creatures of sight. We tend to look and feel and touch and smell and taste. And say, we want to see, is it still there? But when you get over to the word of God, child of God, remember, you don't walk by sight anymore.
That's right.
We don't walk by what we see anymore. You see it? It's all spiritual.
That's right. Praise God. You know, the scripture says the greatest mystery is how to become what, prophet?
One.
That's right. How to become one. All right. So when you and your husband or you and your wife got married, now you got to become what? One. Now watch this here. Another scripture says, don't you know? Whosoever you join yourself to, you become one with that person. Again.
Amen.
The Bible says, don't you know? Whosoever you join yourself to, you become one with that person. Now, a lot of people do not realize that. And if you're wondering where that's found that in the scripture, it is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 and 16. He said, don't you know? Whosoever you join yourself to, you become one with them.
Yes.
Well, by the same token, don't you know? When you receive the Lord Jesus as Savior and Lord, watch this, you become one with him. People keep saying, well, I have Jesus in my heart. No, you don't. You and him are one. You and him are what? You are
one.
Isn't that powerful?
Absolutely.
You are one. And it's time for us to wake up to that truth. Get it in our mouth. Get it in our heart. How do you get it in your heart? You speak it through your mouth. This is how faith is released. You speak it. Mm-hmm. All right.
You must speak it, Apostle. That is so true. And so when we acquire a greater understanding of how powerful our words are, it'll be easier for us. It'll be easier for you. There are so many scriptures that support your this I want to call it a doctrine. I really do. That we must speak the word of God, that we must make those affirmations. We must confirm his word. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. See that That's word, good. The fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power, watch this, of your tongue.
Yes.
And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. See, it's your tongue. Proverbs 18 and 20 and 21. That's what I read just now. It's in your tongue. James 3:6 says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and set it on fire, the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Mm-hmm. All of this is about your tongue. Proverbs 21:3 says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, see that, keeps his life. Listen at that. See, the mouth, Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of fire. Proverbs 12:6, the mouth of the upright shall deliver him. My God, a man shall be satisfied with the good of the fruit of his mouth. Proverbs 12:14. Yes. And it goes on and on. Everything is about your words, child of God. When you become aware of how important your words are, if you search the Bible, you'll see it's your words. That's how you got saved. That's how you became the righteous. It was through your words. It was because you agreed with the word of God. That's how Jesus became who he is. He said, I and my Father are one. He and God did not speak a different word, and neither can you and Jesus.
That's good.
You see it? And so you have to become aware of how powerful your words are.
That's
right. I believe that when you become aware of how powerful your words are, your vocabulary will change like mine did. It had to. Because when I was very young, I was, and I share this all the time. If it came up, what apostle?
Came out.
It came out. That was my life. That's who I was. And I just had no spirit wisdom. Most of us don't. When we're very young, when we're coming up in life, like babies. Babies are not born into the world, full-grown men and women. They come into the world as babies. You know that. Human beings are not born full-grown. They come in as babies. And that's how we are born into the spirit world. We come in as babes in Christ. And we have to study and learn and to understand the things. You had to grow up. I had to grow up. We all had to grow up in the natural. We didn't come here walking and talking and feeding ourselves and taking care of ourselves. We did not. We didn't have the ability to do that. So don't feel bad if you're in a place in your life where you say, I don't know the word of God. It's okay, but you can. That's
right.
Why this healing school is here. That's why we're on social media every day of the world. Every day, this ministry is ministering on social media, Monday through Friday, with Apostle out there every day, Monday through Thursday, Tuesday through Thursday. Monday is we have Saturday, the healing school is here. Sunday, the Sunday morning service is there. Then we have prayer and Bible study. You can hear the word of God from this ministry just That's about right. almost 7 days, at least 6 days a week. Why? Because people need to know.
Absolutely.
And we bring the word of God. Nothing watered down, nothing spliced or put together, No, it's the word of God. It is the sincere milk of the word of God that we grow by. We don't grow by anything other than the word of God. We don't take the word of God and splice it and put it together and make it say what we want it to say. No. And not only that, we give you the reference. We tell you to go back and look at the word for yourselves. We give you all different, many different tools that will help you study the Word of God, like the Greek and Hebrew concordance and all kinds of tools that will help you to understand the Word in its from its origin. So you will know, child of God. But you have to do this. You see it? Each of us, we must come to the place where we grow our own faith. Mm-hmm. And when you grow your faith, you will begin to speak God's word from your heart.
Yes.
And that's when you're going to see what we're talking about. Amen? See how important your mouth is? The lips of the wise shall preserve them. That's Proverbs 14 and 3. Mm-hmm. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life.
Yes.
But perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Proverbs 15 and 4. A gentle tongue with its healing power is a tree of life.
Yes.
But willful contrariness in it breaks down the spirit. See, the tongue, Proverbs 15 and 4 in the Amplified. It is the word of God in your mouth that is going to change your life. And I can go on and on with these building blocks that is going to cause your life to change. When we begin to speak those words and say those words over and over, they will change your life, your word.
That's right.
They will cause your faith to become strong, because it's your faith that's going to sustain you. Amen. Satan's attacking your body with sickness and disease. And I know he is. That's why we're in healing school. But guess what? Your faith is growing as well also. I know your faith is getting stronger. I know it. I can sense
it. Amen. That's right.
Keep coming. Keep yes. coming. Keep listening. Keep That's doing right. it. Even though sometimes you may feel like you don't want to. Sometimes Satan will try to convince you that it's not working. Remember what the Bible said about him? He's a liar.
That's right.
He's a deceiver. Don't yes. listen to him. If Satan tells you anything, you should laugh. You know why? Because whatever he's telling you is just the opposite.
That's right.
If he's telling you you're not healed, you should be laughing, because he's only telling you that because you are being healed. You see it? If he's constantly bombarding your mind with negative thoughts, you should laugh at him. My father in the gospel gave us an example. One time he said, you know, there was something around his bed nagging at him in the middle of the night. And he said, he woke up and he looked down at the foot of the bed. He said, "Oh, it's you, Satan." He laughed and he went back to sleep.
Yeah.
And he said, Satan said, before he went back to sleep, he said, "What are you laughing at?" And he said, "I'm laughing at you." He said, "Why are you laughing at me?" He said, "Because you are a liar and I don't believe nothing you say." How about that? You got to get to that place, child of God, where you don't believe nothing he's saying. He's trying to tell you right now, you've been coming to healing school. You don't see any difference. You know why? Because he knows that over in the spirit world, God is up to something. You see, what we sometimes miss it is because we cannot see behind the veil, because we can't see behind the spiritual veil what he's doing over there. We sometimes become, you know, tired of waiting and not seeing anything. We sometimes become, you know, our faith, we feel like we want to quit and cave in. We feel hopelessness coming and creeping in. And then Satan's right there in your mind, you know, reinforcing it with his lies.
Yeah.
Child of God, that's the time when God is working. That's when he's working. He's doing something. I gave an example the other day. The man of God asked God for something over in the new, in the Old Testament. And God said, "From the day that you asked me, I sent the answer to you." But Daniel. the prince of Persia withstood it. He took yes. that word. He grabbed yes. it and he ran away with it. He said, "I had to send an angel to get that word back to you." You see what I'm saying? But all the time, yeah, Daniel was waiting on that word. He didn't see anything. He didn't hear anything. He thought God had forgotten about him. No, God was behind the scene working like he's doing for you right now today. Don't cave in. Don't quit. Keep standing in faith. Keep confessing. Keep affirming. Keep confessing the word of healing. Keep confessing it over your body. Thanking God every morning that you are healed. Demanding your rights. Remember, Apostle showed us you have rights.
That's right.
You have rights as being a child of God. You don't know your rights? Well, there they are.
Yeah.
There they are. Don't cave in and quit. You are more than a conqueror through Christ. Yes, you are. But stay the course. Stay the course. That redemption is from the works of the adversary and from his dominion over our lives. See, we're redeemed from him. Everyone has the same righteousness. You and I have the same righteousness. That's no right. One of us, no one is better than the other. We all have come to the place where we are redeemed from that, from Satan and his demonic forces. Why? Because we confessed with our mouths and we believed with our hearts. You see it? So when you are born again, we receive that life and nature of God, the Father. His nature makes us righteous. No one has more of it than any other. All who have received his nature have come into the family and are recognized as the sons and daughters of the great Father God. Everyone has the same right in the family. Each one of us have a different gift, but we all are saved. We all have been born away from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus Christ. Everyone has the same love, the same great Holy Spirit. We are raised up with Jesus from the dead. Each one of us have that same kind of fellowship with the Father. Child of God, you know this. We all know this. But because we have this, we also have a right to our healing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
See it? Each one has a right to use the name of Jesus. Each one has a right to the authority invested in the name of Jesus to deliver people and to deliver ourselves out of the dominion of Satan, to heal the sick, to cast out demons. You remember the Bible says when the evening has come, they brought unto him many who were sick, and he cast who were filled with demons, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed the sick. And then the Bible tells us that we can do the same thing. He said, greater works than these will you do. Why? He said, because I go to my Father. If Jesus cast out spirit, that's over in Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. You can go and read it for yourself. Again, yes. Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. He cast out the spirit with his word. With a word. You see, everything is word-based. Everything is word-based in the kingdom of God where you now live.
That's good.
Because you've been born into that kingdom. You've been born into the kingdom of God. That's what you have been redeemed into. Redemption gives you a right to do what Jesus did. The Bible says he cast out the spirits with his word. Go check it out. Matthew 8, up around verse 16 and 17. He didn't get an axe or a drill or an AK-47 or a knife. He cast those spirits out with his word. And then he healed the sick. Sometimes there's a demonic force there holding that sickness in place. Now, I don't want to get into all of that today. We'll deal with it somewhere down the line if we need to. But sometimes there's a spirit holding that thing there in place. And you have the right to speak to that demonic force. Yes, you do. And say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, take your hands off of my body. In the name of Jesus, every demonic force, every spirit that is not like my Father God, that is at work in my body, I speak to you now. Yes. Because God, Jesus told me to speak to the mountain. So I speak to every mountain of wicked spirits, every demonic force, every work of witchcraft, black magic, new age sorcery, bewitchment. Oh, I can go on and on. But I know you don't know all of this right now, but guess what? We're here to help you. But what am I saying? You have a right to speak to spirits and cast them out.
That's
and command them to go. And then the healing, you see? And then after that, then he healed the sick.
Yes.
Go read that. Study along those lines. That's what Jesus did. We are his sons and his daughters, and we can do the same thing. But without the knowledge of who you are, whose you are, and where you are, and what you can do, you will do nothing. You see it? We will submit to whatever comes along. We will surrender to the onslaughts of satanic occult activity. We will feel helpless and just surrender to it. You don't have to do that.
That's right. That's right.
You don't have to do that. Amen. Praise God.
This is why the scripture says, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Absolutely, Apostle.
Did you know that Jesus died to get you out of poverty just as much as he did to get you out of sin?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he did. He redeemed you from the curse of the law. So he redeemed you from poverty. He redeemed you from sickness. What? I've been redeemed from sickness? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
True enough, Jesus died for your sins. But that's not all.
Yes.
By and large, the church stopped right there at sin. But no, ma'am, and no, sir, that bread is half baked. Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, 15. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law. What is that? Poverty, sickness, and spiritual debt. Poverty, sickness, and spiritual debt.
Amen.
You are healed right now. You've been redeemed from sickness. He took you out of sickness. He didn't put you in it. He took you out of it. He didn't put you in poverty. He took you out of it.